Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Well, in one face, Action Jacks. I've come out Ricky on the board after a successful winter sports episode where it doesn't look like he's got any casts on, so that's a good thing. SP Futures up 9, NASDAQ Futures up 59. Kevin's back from Arizona. We got all kinds of people coming from all over the place. What do you think of that, Kevin?
Hey, still in Arizona, not flying out until this afternoon.
My understanding is an awful lot of people miss the Sugar Bowl game last night because their flights were home yesterday and couldn't change them.
Well, that may be true. It was still pretty darn full.
Oh, I'm sure it was, yeah. But, I mean, when I say people, I'm a few thousand probably.
Yeah, I know a few. And, I know a few who had no alternative but to get back there.
Then if you're on a plane at a different time, you didn't even miss the game on TV.
Yeah, or you did like I did. You recorded it because your son had to go to work, like mine did. And then somehow it got screwed up so that the recording ended at halftime and the game was over by the time you got to the rest of it.
Well, they won.
But the highlights were up. Extended highlights were up. So, the big thing, and for those who didn't watch the game, Notre Dame won, I think it was 23-10, and they scored at the end of the late in the first half. Then Georgia came out, didn't have that much time, but was going to try and drive into scoring position, see if they could get on the board. Notre Dame got a turnover, got a strip sack, and scored another touchdown, and then came out for the opening kickoff and returned that for a touchdown, and that pretty much ended the game.
Yeah, they were pretty much stunned. The strip sack pretty much nailed them. They didn't really show much offense against who'd they beat? Texas, right?
They had the first round off.
Oh, it was Texas that didn't show. They still didn't show much offense.
They had Texas in the SEC championship.
Yeah, and they didn't show much offense, but won somehow. Well, their quarterback got hurt, right? Or was that Texas?
Well, yeah, their quarterback got hurt in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and
so the young guy came in. The guy's talented. I will say this: the Notre Dame's offensive coordinator, he's done this all along. His name is Al Golden. Al Golden has been a head coach a couple of times, and when they hired him, he was on the Cincinnati Bengals staff a few years ago. But one thing, whatever they are doing, whatever a team comes out and does successfully really early, by the second quarter, they're taking that away from them. So the Georgia quarterback came out 7-for-7. And I think he went 1 for his next 6, and they just got the guy under pressure and never let up.
Well, both teams have serious Sunday players on the outside. Nobody could do anything outside. You could do a little something up the middle on both teams, but outside was tough. Of course, the guy's name is Gunner. Gunner. He's supposed to be a good quarterback.
He's supposed to be good. Yeah. Yeah, and the Irish actually do have some serious Sunday talent inside. It just happens to be injured at the moment. So
yeah. Well, I still have an amazing. Yesterday, the tweets were going back and forth regarding whether that call the other day was really a flagrant foul or whatever you want to call them.
A targeting call.
Targeting call, and it is stunning how, I guess this is a shot. People from Southern college schools still act as if these players are chop meat. That's what they act like that totally. because they have been. Now, they don't realize, I mean, everybody thinks now that you care about your quarterbacks and your people. The reason why you care about them in the pros is because you're paying them a lot of money. You don't beat people up like you used to Y.A. Tittle and those people and try and take them out of games because you're paying them too much. It has nothing to do with whether you care about somebody being hurt or not. These people don't care.
Well, this is why they've made so many rules to protect the quarterback, because those are hard to find and very expensive.
Well, yeah.
And they'll do everything they can to protect them.
And there is no such thing as targeting in a Southern college football game. And as for the Irish last night, I don't know if you saw who's the moron that roughed the punter twice in a row? I've never seen that.
He's a freshman. He'll get better.
I mean, how both of those were not roughing, I have no idea. What do you got to do to break a leg to rough a guy?
Well, supposedly it's whether you hit the kicking foot or the plant foot. I definitely would have called the 15-yard penalty.
For those that don't know what I'm talking about.
That's Bryce Young, actually. He's Bryant Young's son.
For those that don't know, the guy from Georgia's kicking. Some guy runs in, misses the ball, just takes out while his punting leg is in the air, totally takes it out, and the guy spins around and lands on his noggin, basically. So the refs go, oh, no, it's only 5 yards. Okay, well, that's fine, because it was like 4th and 20 or something. So they elect to kick again. He comes in and does the exact same thing, the same guy. I'm sitting there going, even if I don't think it's roughing, I got to do it the second time just as a stupidity.
Yeah, slow down, young ball. That's all. Slow down.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? And so they give another 5 yards, the guy has to kick again, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that before?
Two in a row like that, I can't recall seeing it.
But then they still have to kick? That's how far it was.
I sort of half expected them to do the re-kick, to choose to do the re-kick, because the first kick was pretty short, too.
Yeah.
Just choose to do the re-kick and then watch the guy return it for a touchdown.
God, well, that's... But it's what's amazing. Well, there's a lot of stuff amazing about the way this college stuff is going. But the idea that you could have such a tremendous game, and you don't win anything. You got two more to go. If you're a Penn State fan and actually gave a crap enough to want to go to these games, how many trips do you have to make? 5. You got to go to the conference championship, maybe, even though things kind of useless now. And they had to go. Where was the first one? They had to go. They were home, right? They hosted the first one, so you didn't have to travel to that one. Well, if you're not in school anymore, you got to travel back there. Then you have to go to where were they? They were by you. We're in Fiesta Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Then you had to travel there. So now you got to travel to the Orange Bowl, right? And then you got to travel somewhere else.
Still pretty good destinations, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you got to be. We're not talking about. A middle class dude taking 4 trips during the holidays.
Yeah, and I understand that, Tom. But you know, think of during the regular season, how many people go to every road game?
Well, what I'm saying is
very few.
But it
very
was
few.
If you went,
and that's the way it's going to be for the playoffs too. Is different subsets of people are going to go to different games for the most part, and then there's going to be a few people that have both the means and the time to. You know, jump on a plane and go wherever they, you know, wherever they can see a game.
Does the university take the entourage of the cool guys to every one of these games?
Oh, I'm sure they do. Yeah.
What do you suppose the budget is for
the travel? The athletic department travel party. Yeah, I'm sure they do.
I don't know if I want to be in with that group or not.
The good news is free trip. The bad news is who do I have to hang with?
Yeah. Well, I can't even. What's so? All right, let's talk about the market a little bit. Yesterday was an amazing first day of the year. We came in, NASDAQ was up 250. At one point, it was down 250. Then it leaked back on the close to being down like 60. Market seems like it cannot figure out which way we're going here. What do you think is causing it all? I mean, this is, you know, it's still a holiday week, but it's. I think people are kind of tired of the holidays. A lot of people were in, I think yesterday was a pretty full day for most. It was crazy trading. I mean, everything was up for huge. Then all of a sudden, you got the gold up again. You got Bitcoin up again, and then all of a sudden, we turned. I mean, it was a 500-point turn at one point in the Nasdaq, and we went up and down a few times. And finally, near the close, we kind of leaked back up. It's I don't know where all this. Well, I guess Nobody can seem to figure out what's happening. And every day you look at it and, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, Kevin, you look at it, what did today tell me? It didn't tell me anything other than nobody seems to know which way it's going. Are you getting a feel for any of this or what? I don't know.
No, I don't, but, you know, especially this week, I've kind of paid no attention to anything this week. I've been on vacation.
Well, there you go. I think there's and I don't think it has, maybe it has something to do with the market, maybe it doesn't, but there seems to be in a political spectrum a lot of concern from various members of the Republican Party. The Democratic Party, they're not doing anything, but the... what exactly is going to happen, and you know, what part of the stuff Trump said he was going to do is he going to do, and what isn't he, and what can he do, and what can't he do, and what difference, you know, what difference is it going to make? I think some of these numbers that are being spit out regarding the deficits and those kinds of things are troubling to everybody. I don't know if that's changed some of what he wants to do. I mean, I can't believe he's going to come in and lower taxes. How the hell do you do that when the receipts are down from where they were, you know? I think in the year before last they were up. I got to get a summary. Maybe Carl will. What they do now, Kevin, if you go to the monthly Treasury statement, this has been happening under every leader we've had. Every time somebody comes in, by the time they're out of there in 4 years or eight or whatever it is, the ease of getting information is harder. Now the monthly Treasury statement, it is what it is. It's a monthly statement. They used to, on the top, just for bleeps and giggles, they would leave like the last 10 years there just for reference. Now they don't do that. So you got to go dig for that, right? So it's just, it's kind of weird. They don't give you the money supply every week, although some people are obviously getting it. I don't know why that is, but it's like both parties have decided less information is more for people. And I don't know, and when you're a trader, you realize that the numbers are still being public, or they're being produced, not like it fired any of these people. Who's getting them and I'm not? You know, I guess I could go back and look at the Treasury statement if I dug deep enough. I'm sure I could find the statement for 2020 and 21. But why should I have to? You know, and why should I not get the money supply numbers weekly when I know other people are getting them? I mean, I don't... What we're doing here, and it doesn't seem to be...
Knowing information that others don't is power. Withholding information and controlling the flow of information is power. So that's what you're saying.
Obviously we have people with strong political views all over the place. And my political views are equally as strong. I think who's ever running the place is not anybody we're looking at, because all these decisions seem to be being made no matter who's in power. Or is it just, like, maybe it is. Maybe it's just a bureaucratic mind.
First of all, we actually know that because it's, you know, now the Wall Street Journal did a nice job of documenting very specifically what we've all known all along, or what anybody with any sense has known all along, and that's whoever's making the decisions for Joe Biden is definitely not Joe Biden.
Well, is it what did Bones say on Star Trek? The bureaucratic mind has been a constant through the ages. Is it just bureaucrats doing it? I don't know. Bureaucrats don't take that kind of responsibility, though, Kevin, do they?
No, it's three key advisors whose names are escaping me at the moment. But he's you know, and what they do is, you know, that people would have meetings scheduled with the president, that kind of thing, and it was, you know, he has his good days and his bad days, and on his bad days he's canceling the meetings and he's going home, and this has been, and it was that way through the whole administration. So yeah, who are the puppet masters? It's always a good question, isn't it?
Well, I think the ones I'm talking about go deeper than that. The ones that
talking about the ones that have been doing this forever.
Yeah, I don't. But you know, Kevin,
this just gave us some insight into it, the insight to something that's been happening to some degree all along.
I try and expand my mind a little bit if I can. It's a South Side mind, and so I like to, you know, to make the listeners think a little bit, and I think listeners listen because maybe we try and do that. How much? Let's say, oh God. You and I, are we bringing Carl with us or not? You and I will drop
Carl's with us. Yeah, Carl's on.
No, I'm talking about you.
Carl, you're always welcome to jump in.
Yeah, but I'm asking if you and I landed in the Oval Office, would we bring Carl with us?
Oh, come on, man. I would have, there would be this unfortunate accident. somewhere between the front door and the Oval Office.
Although Carl, I think you, I think you'd be a fine puppet master, except that you couldn't be quiet about it.
Yeah, that's
you know, Chief, you asked a really silly question if you think about it. You know, why is the market having these spasms about, you know, what the blank is going to go on, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, contemplate what just happened. All right. We just had a crazy with an ISIS flag on the back of a rented truck drive through the middle of Bourbon Street on New Year's Eve, right?
Yep.
And then gets out with by the way, not an evil black AR-15. This what was reported he was armed with was a bog standard pistol and a .308 caliber with a suppressor on it. Okay, now that is a serious rifle. I'd rather be shot with the AR, thank you very little. But is that
a legal rifle?
Well, the suppressor requires a tax stamp. So if you have a tax stamp for it, yes. Now, apparently, both weapons were stolen. Okay, so the narrative, at least, you know, this is what we're being told, is they were stolen. But the narrative is that both weapons were stolen from New Jersey. So whoever owned them in New Jersey. Now, what I haven't looked, there are states where it's where you can't get a tax stamp because state law says they're illegal. I haven't looked to see whether or not New Jersey is.
Wait, go back up. What does a tax stamp got to do with a silencer?
You have to have a tax stamp to have a suppressor. To put a muffler on a firearm, you must have a muffler on your car, or it's illegal.
Right.
Okay. However, in order to have a muffler, it's not a silencer; it's a muffler.
Right.
Okay. It does not. It's not pew 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 like you see in the movies. That's BS. But to put a muffler on a firearm, you have to have a tax stamp from the BATF, and you must acquire that before you acquire the muffler.
You mean you pay a tax and they give you a tax stamp? Is that the idea?
Well, so you have to fill out a form and submit fingerprints and, you know, all of this happy stuff.
Yeah, it's a registration.
It's a registration, and it dates back to the National Firearms Act. It's blatantly unconstitutional, and by the way, the mufflers are serialized, so if anything goes wrong with it, you just paid a tax stamp for a hunk of metal that's worthless, and incidentally, that does happen. So it's essentially an attempt to prevent people from buying them. Now the price of the stamp has not gone up over time. But what it was at the time it was enacted was confiscatorily expensive. I mean, you know, $400 doesn't sound like a lot of money today. Back then, it certainly was. So that was, you know, that's essentially the logic behind it. But
what do you have to put down a reason why you need it? Is you're going to assassinate somebody or what?
No, anyone who's not a felon, you know, I mean, as long as you're not a prohibited person, you can get one. But there are states where they're illegal to possess. So the problem with having one and with buying them is that if, you know, let's say that you want to go target shooting, you want to go hunting, and so you've got one of these things, you better have the paperwork with you, because if you don't, the gendarme is going to assume it's illegally possessed, and by the way, that's 10 years in the slammer if you get caught with one that isn't registered. So and they do actually lock people up for that sometimes. I mean, you know, unless you're Hunter Biden, then, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, except Hunter.
Except for Hunter, but you know, but everybody else that violates the, you know, the firearm laws, they actually throw them in jail. So yeah, but there are states where you can't have them, period. Same thing with machine guns. You can buy a machine gun, but you have to have a tax stamp for it. But there are states where you cannot own these. They said it was stolen out of New Jersey. I have not researched whether or not New Jersey is a state where you can have them or not. Most states you can. So anyway, but here's the oddity of all this. Okay, so this guy's a you know, he's obviously a crazy, right?
Does anybody know yet whether or not he was a goof? Was he honorably discharged and everything? Was he all right when he was in the Army?
Well, so there's a lot of rumors floating around. He was honorably, apparently, well, you know, discharge record is public. He was honorably discharged, but there apparently is some evidence that he was blocked from reenlistment. And that usually happens because somebody in your chain of command thinks there's a wee stability problem with your head and you're not suitable for military service, but they're not willing to say it out loud and, you know, throw you through, you know, the military tribunals and court-martial you and, you know, or medically discharge you because you're crazy. And so, you know, this is not... People aren't being real clear about what really happened there.
Well, you guys were doing the show. Who's the dude? Who was the army guy that I don't know? He blasted a school, but he killed a few people. I thought it was in New Jersey or somewhere out there. And it turns out his army records showed that they booted him out because he was abusing his wife and had a one of those things where he couldn't go near her. One of those kinds.
I don't remember what you're describing, yeah. Tom. I just don't remember.
But the story was that none of that information made it to the civil authorities when they gave him his FOID card.
Right. Well, this is the.
So are we thinking something like that happened here? Maybe,
Chief. That sort of thing is extremely. You know. Yes. Okay. It is a short answer. But the New Orleans thing is less curious than the Vegas one, okay? The Vegas thing, someone's lying. I'll just come out and say it. That the so-called set of events it makes zero. There's zero logic to any of that one. All right. First off, this guy was an active duty Green Beret. He wasn't a vet. He was on leave. Okay, so he was active duty. Secondly, he had advanced tactical training. Right? Duh.
Yeah.
Green Beret. All right.
Well, the only person he killed was himself.
Well, and by the way, this guy clearly knew how to manufacture and make real explosives, not fireworks.
But he blew himself away first, right?
Well, this is where things get curious. Okay. So, yes. So, the reports are he was dead before the explosives went off, right? Which were essentially what was in the back of the truck was firework mortars that anybody can buy, right? And some gasoline and camping fuel, all right? So, yeah, all right. A guy who has advanced tactical training, best he can come up with for a bomb is something that isn't really a bomb, all right?
Something that you and I could even do, go to the fireworks store and do the thing.
I could drive down there's a fireworks store about 4 miles from my house, okay? And yeah, and I mean, for a few $100, I could buy all those fireworks. Yeah, I mean, they're going to make a big mess, but they're not what you and I think of as a bomb, right?
They have no ability to take any part of the building out or anything like that. It's not like a Tim McVeigh bomb where they took the whole building
down. No, not at all. And I don't care how much of them you have in an unconfined space, which the back of a truck is. It's going to make a lot of noise. It's going to make a lot of smoke, a lot of fire, but that's it.
And one less Tesla on the road.
Well, one less Tesla, yes. But here's the part that I don't believe. Supposedly, he killed himself with a Desert Eagle 50.
Which is what?
It is an extraordinarily loud and obnoxious, legal-to-own pistol. I have fired one. Okay? I've personally fired one. The libertarian guy showed up with one and if anybody within a half a mile, if that thing went off, their thing would be, what the F was that?
What kind of ammo is in it to make it that loud?
It's a 50 caliber handgun.
That thing must have a kick like a mule.
It has a compensator on the front of it, which keeps the muzzle rise reasonable so you can actually handhold it without it being blown out of your hand. It's a lot like a 454 Castle in terms of social graces, if you will. In other words, it sounds like somebody's shelling you, and there is no way that anybody that was in the lobby area of that hotel, because, you know, the surveillance video has been, you know, was all over the place instantly about this thing going up in flames, right? If you were in the lobby and that guy capped himself with that thing in that car, you would have thought World War III had just started.
It just goes to show you how quiet the Teslas are.
Well, I'll tell you what's not quiet is a 50 AE going
really?
Off.
How big is this thing? It's got to be heavy.
It's a pretty good size. It's a big handgun, but it's a pistol.
Okay.
But I assure you, Chief, it does not sound like a pistol. It sounds like a cannon.
Okay.
And there is no possible way that happened that way. Now, what I do believe is possible is that somebody capped him out in the high desert, put the Tesla on autopilot, and either had a timer in the back or, you know, a box, right? And, you know, thing pulls up in front of the hotel, he's already dead, and then, you know, off goes the fireworks and burns, you know, the remains to a crisp, which apparently, you know, the burn to a crisp part is what happened.
Oh, God. Well, what do you say we take a quick break here? We'll be quick. SP Futures up 13, NASDAQ's up 69. Be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm tomorrow, Ricky on the board. We'll be quick about this. SP Futures up 12, NASDAQ Futures up 62, which puts us somewhat even to yesterday morning, as amazing as it may seem, after we're all over the place. Dow's up 77. Virtually all the number 7 stocks are way up. Then they came flying down. Tesla is trading 379. It's down $100 from 2 weeks ago, 2 to 3 weeks ago. It's unbelievable. Too bad, Elon, I guess. I don't know what's going on with him, but that's a big move in that stock. They came out yesterday and said for the first time ever, their shipments were down on cars, so that's not good. DAX down 70.3%, FTSE down 5%, call that flat. CAC around down 59.8%. Over in Asia, Nikkei down 386, 1%, 39,894. We've got the Hang Seng up 136, 0.7%, 19,760. It keeps trying to get back to the 20,000 number. Shanghai down 51, that's 1.5%. 3211 is where they are. Chinese stock market slump deepens with bond yields hitting record lows as PBOC reportedly signals more stimulus or less stimulus, who the hell knows. Yesterday, again, we closed down 151 on the Dow, down 13 in the S&P, NASDAQ down 30, but that doesn't cut it. We were way up, way down, and then we finished almost back to unchanged. Bonds down 3 basis points, 4.54. The Bund up 1 basis point, 2.38. Japan up down 1 at 107. We've got oil, which has been rallying, down 15 cents today, but still 72.98, the very high end of the recent range. Brent down 19 cents, 75.74. Natural gas down 17 cents, 3.48. Not sure where that's coming from, but it's cold outside. We've got gold, which had a big rally yesterday, up 2.30 today, 26.71, sorry. Silver up 32 cents, 30.22. When it got down to 28.50, it was a buy, but sure didn't look like it when it was there. Copper up a penny, 4.03. We've got foreign exchange. Get a load of this. The euro is now below 103, at 102.96. It was over 107, I'm going to say, in late November. It's a 3-4% move in a currency. That's a big number. British pound, 124. It was 127.5 for quite a while. Again, not as big a move, but a move nonetheless. And we have Bitcoin, which has been all over the block. Now it's down 627 today, 96,808. Ricky, a lot of stuff. What do you got for us for Fairly Weather Sports?
Morning, Chief. It's currently 6:34 a.m. here in Chicago. 23 degrees right now with a high of 27. Pretty cold. Sunday, partly cloudy today and breezy. Tonight will be clear, brisk, and cold with a low of 14 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, 48 degrees right now with a high of 77. Warm with temperature approaching the record of 79 degrees last reached in 1989. Tonight will be clearing with a low of 46 degrees. Traffic in Chicago, Iman Kennedy from Monroe, so we're looking at 9 minutes. 22 minutes, Iman Edens from Lane Cook. Iman Eisenhower from Wall, 15 minutes. Inbound Dan Ryan from 95th, 13 minutes. And lastly, Stevenson from 294 to the Dan Ryan, 17 minutes. Let's go to sports. NFL, this Saturday, January 4th. Tomorrow, we got Browns at Ravens, 3:30 p.m. And Bengals at Steelers at 7 p.m. And this Sunday, January 5th, we got Bears at Packers, 12 p.m. And 49ers at Cardinals, 3:25 p.m. NBA, no Bulls or Suns game today, but tomorrow, we have both. We have Suns at Packers, 6 p.m., and Knicks at Bulls, 7 p.m. Lastly, today we got the Canadiens at Blackhawks at 7 p.m. Back over to you, Chief.
So, Carl, suppose a guy like me wanders into the Bass Pro Shop down the road, says, I want to buy one of these things. Is everybody in the place going to look at me like I'm nuts?
Well, they're not going to have it. You're talking about a suppressor?
No, I mean that gun. It sounds like a cannon.
Oh, a Desert Eagle. Oh, those are readily. Those are. It's a handgun. There's nothing special about those.
Who makes it?
A Israeli company.
Really?
Yeah, and it's now. Here's the thing. It is an absolutely worthless weapon from a standpoint of anything other than the giggle factor, and there is quite a giggle factor of shooting it. Simply because it's a handheld cannon. Better have really good ear protection on when you fire it, by the way. My point is that there is absolutely no way that some guy capped himself in his car in the valet slot with one of those, and everybody within a half mile, did turn their head and go, what the? All right.
Well, what is I mean, it? You mentioned something earlier, loud. Though, and Kevin was on it too. What happens to people that they essentially leave the military, don't want them back, that they know are somewhat unstable? Is there any cross? First of all, what do you do when anybody's unstable anyway? It hasn't done anything yet. It's pretty hard to do anything with them. But
that's the problem, right?
But is there any cross? Hey, we just let a guy out here who's Jason Bourne. He's been trained for everything, and we think he's nuts. Does anybody even know that?
Well, there's. So, the way the law is structured, okay, and there are people that argue this is unacceptable. I argue that it's an inherent part of a free society. We don't do pre-crime, and we, God forbid, we ever end up in a Minority Report kind of world, and all the surveillance crap that's going on, there's plenty of people who would like to make it that way. But it's a difficult problem because if I think you're crazy, unless I go through judicial process to get that confirmed by a judge, you're not a prohibited person. And the fact that I think you're nuts is, I think you're nuts. Chief, how many people do you know that you think are a little nuts? Okay, I mean, among my family members, most of whom today are deceased, so I can't get a phone call from them, 10 minutes after I get off the air here saying, hey, what are you talking about? Several of them I thought were absolutely batshit crazy. All right.
Well, but I mean, there's a difference. I had family members that were crazy would go to like, the day track and then the night track. I'd love to gamble, but I never saw them like accumulating weapons.
Well, but would you even know if they were accumulating weapons?
Oh, right? Probably in those days you would have.
Maybe. I mean, for all you know, I've got 400 of them in my basement.
But
right?
As many people. Well, let's put it this way: in where I grew up, and Kevin was very similar. Everybody, there were a lot of people, and not very many rooms. You'd be pretty hard pressed if 8 people were living in a house and everybody knew everybody, and all of a sudden the guy's getting gun deliveries every day. It's not like today where everybody seems to be by themselves. It's like the COVID hangover or something.
You've got a point there, and that is that is a real thing. That's a real point, and it's
You're basically talking about isolation, and yes, there are a lot of people who live a very isolated life.
Yeah, and I mean, when I grew up, it was a 1,000-square-foot house, and there were four of us in there, and you know, tiny little bedroom, and a master that was a little bit bigger, and God, I don't think I could have had one gun in the place without everyone else that lived there knowing about it.
The only kind of time I was really stunned on something like that, my first job at the Chicago Board of Education was at the Froebel Upper Grade Center, and the engineer there, he was a temp, real nice guy, Neil Steele, I think was his name, but he sometimes had a sub in schools where people were always breaking in.
Right.
So this wacky janitor, who was as perverted as the day was long, he says, "Oh, you should have like a gun." He goes, "I just don't feel like right carrying one." Even though before the police get there, it might be nice if I had something to defend myself. All of a sudden, the guy walks in the next day with a shopping bag with a fake bag in there with a couple of things of celery. And the bottom of the bag, he's got like 8 handguns. And he was one of these isolationist guys but he lived in a neighborhood, probably in a one bedroom apartment. Yeah. I mean, there's always been guys kind of like that, but wow, I mean, it seems like we're talking about people that not only dislike somebody enough to try and kill them, they don't care if they kill themselves. It's one thing to be think that way about somebody else. Quite another if you're this guy in New Orleans knew he was going to die.
Chief, what you have to understand, and this is part of why justice has to come back into the game, and so does fear among those people who they supposedly make and execute the laws when it comes to not enforcing them against certain people and enforcing them against others. Okay, the disparity. There is no possible way to stop someone who doesn't care if he gets capped himself doing it.
Oh, absolutely. That's the point I was trying to make. And how many people are there like
that? Cannot be done, and it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. That's the reality of it, is that if somebody is mad enough, whether they're crazy or they're just pissed off, if they're mad enough that they're willing to die, then you're done. They're going to run the scoreboard, and you'll get them, but you're probably not going to get them before they get some other people. And that's just the way it is, and it's always been that way, and there's not a lot that can be done about it. But I put a column up this morning, just before I popped on the air here. I wrote it yesterday. It's the little insults like this that ultimately end up driving people nuts. You know, we've all seen the stuff that with regards to the CEO that got popped in New York by Luigi. Yeah, allegedly he hasn't been convicted yet. Along with with all these other things, but if you think about the scale and scope of this kind of stuff, right? Like this H-1B thing that blew up in the on social media a few days ago. There are laws. It is illegal if you are as an employer, you want to bring in people on H-1B visas. You have to certify when you file those requests that you have not laid off anybody in a relevant role related to this for the previous 90 days, and you will not do so for the next 90 days. Okay?
I'm going to say now, nobody pays attention to that.
Chief, a false statement on that form is a felony. It is not a civil offense. It's a felony. All right.
Stealing over $100 a felony too.
Well, guess what? There are now people combing through these records for Tesla, for Cisco, for a bunch of other companies, because they're all public, okay, and correlating them with WARN notices and actual layoff numbers. And these companies violate these laws with impunity.
These are people that are above the law.
Well, guess what, Chief?
Exactly the point.
Yeah,
that's exactly the point. And you know what? I'm tired of hearing this. So when somebody goes and flips their lid, all right, and goes insane and takes it out on people, I am no longer going to say, "Dang it, we need to fix it." No, you solve this problem first. you screw people with impunity for decades, and because nobody ever gets prosecuted and nobody goes to jail and companies never get destroyed when they do this stuff, but people here in America, Americans, have their lives destroyed.
I make the point, almost a little Kevin bored with me making, I make the point all the time that if everybody is growing and everybody's prospering even a little bit, people are willing to let some of that stuff go. But as soon as you're not, and the only way you can get ahead is by stealing from somebody else, which I think is almost the spot we're in, it's a big problem.
And well, Chief, here's just a tiny little example.
I think it's a bigger problem. So, Carl, you say what you're going to say, and then I got something to add to that.
Yeah, so here's just a tiny little example of this that nobody would do if people actually went to jail. Just happened to me a few days ago. So let's say that you order something on Amazon and you're not a Prime member. All right, now you have to have $35 worth of whatever in your cart in order for you to be able to choose low cost, aka free. Of course, nothing is ever free. It's always in the price. Shipping, but it's slow boat, right? It'll be there in 5 days or whatever. All right, and when you go to checkout, you're presented with some other options. You can do their Prime thing, or you can pay them for shipping and get it faster. All right, now that all makes sense, right? I mean, you want us to send something by a faster means, it costs more money, you pay more money. Okay, I got no problem with any of that. You say, no, slow's fine, I don't really care if it takes a week to get it. And you click buy this. You'll get a message that says, did you forget anything? For the next 24 hours, no matter what you buy, no matter its size, it's free shipping. Now, why is that? Because they haven't hit your card yet, and they don't. And it costs them no extra money to put something else in the same box. Okay?
Really?
So that's what... Yeah.
Why don't they hit your card?
Because you might cancel the order. And by the way, they want to only charge the card one time because there's a discount charge. There's a ticket charge with credit card companies.
Okay.
Yeah, and accounting... convention is that you don't book the revenue until you ship.
Correct. And so basically what Amazon does is they deliberately sit on the order for 24 hours. They haven't done anything with it. It's sitting in their computer. And but they tell you, look, if you forgot something else, you bought something and you decide, well, I need a cable to go with that DVD player, right? Rather than bang you again for the cable, which might mean you go down to Walmart and buy it, okay, throw that in the box too. And you could do that for 24 hours. Now, here's where the scam comes. Let's say that you do realize that there's something else that you need, and you go on their site, and it's not instantly obvious how much time you have left. So maybe you don't remember exactly when you placed that order. You go into, this is especially true if you're doing it on your phone, on a mobile app and not on the computer. You go in there and you put a couple things in the cart, and then you're like, okay, how long do I got to like add a couple more things, right? So you start through the checkout and it says order within the next 8.5 hours, 8 hours and 37 minutes. And, and it's basically the shipping's on us because it's part of the other order. And you don't complete it. So you abandon the cart there. The cart does not get removed. But if you come back to it even 10 minutes later, that free shipping is gone. And if you're not paying attention, you're going to get banged for another $7 for the shipping. All right? Now, that's illegal. That's a bait and switch because you were told you had 24 hours. Now, it gets even worse than that.
Yeah, but I'm not going to kill somebody for $7.
Well, okay, but you know what? $7 times how many times do they do this to you, to someone, and how much money is that they just stole? All right? Now, it gets even better than that, all right? Now, let's say that they do that to you, and you realize it. You didn't buy the stuff, so you didn't get banged for the $7. But then you realize, hey, I really need that stuff, whatever it is. And I need it in 2 days. So you go in there and you say, I'll pay the $7, which is basically a one-off on what you'd get with Prime, right? Instead of paying $15 for the month, you're gonna place the one order and you're gonna pay for the faster shipping because you really do need it. and you go do that. They'll take the $7 and it'll come up and say, oh, by the way, it'll be there next Thursday, which is the slow shipping, but they just banged you for the $7.
I just actually know what I was thinking about doing. This is scary. It's not off topic. I was going to have a Dr. Blade come on someday, and if one of you guys wants to do it with me, basically was going to ask him to shrink me online. You guys, I think, have figured out about those nonviolent persons there are, nonviolent people there are, and find out just, but everybody, I think, has a breaking point on something.
Yeah.
And I,
yeah.
You know, I just kind of wonder what it is and what, you know, I, for one, since I, you know, fortunately, I guess, or maybe unfortunately, everybody look at it, I spent a lot of time with you know, lawyers and judges in my neighborhood, and I tell you what, and I know people that have used the arbitration process, and people actually tried to sue people for really bad stuff. I think that the entire justice system really doesn't serve 80% of the population. I mean,
it doesn't serve 95%.
I was trying to be nice, and but I mean, you know, and it's at a point where you're like, you know, how frustrated can you be? Nobody can get any kind of redress from these people you're talking about.
Chief, that's exactly the problem. Okay, and the whole reason, the thing is, errors. You know, I've said this essentially my entire professional life because, you know, part of the thing about doing data analysis is that, you know, the people are stupid and they make mistakes, right? Errors are normally distributed. If it's a mistake, half the time someone gets screwed and the other half the time someone gets a benefit that they didn't pay for, all right? When all of the so-called errors are a screwing, it's not a mistake.
Right, well, without a doubt.
Yeah, mistakes come with the word oops.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's the thing, Kevin,
say what you're going to say, because you're even hanging
out. Yeah, the point I want to make, and you know, Carl just gave us a good example. First of all, you know, for that, we have a whole bureaucracy dedicated to consumer protection.
Yeah, where are they?
Where are they? And the fact that nothing gets done all the time, if you have ever spoken with anybody who grew up in Soviet Russia, if you have ever read anything by, you know, somebody who emigrated from Russia and was free to write all about, you know, their childhood experiences, when you do that, that idea that we just shrug it off and say that's the way it is, some people are protected and some people are not, that's their whole whole mentality that became Russian society in those days. It's that's the way it is, we're effed up, we know it, we have to take it, and you know, we're there in so many ways, we are there. And and it's, you know, when you go read something by you know, by a Russian expatriate, which is generally people about our age now, or if you have a conversation, it keeps dawning on you when you're saying, oh my God, we do that. Yep. Oh my God, we do that. We've just gotten to that bureaucratic state that is just running everything, and the rest of us are just supposed to shrug and take it.
Well, we did I'm not a world traveler or anything like maybe you guys are, but we did some lectures over in, this is 1991, over in Vienna. We were at Credit and Stalt. I always like that name, and Stalt.
Oh, yes, they were the ones that blew up, yeah.
Yeah, we were in the boardroom, and talk about neat, Carl and Kevin. You had a button where your foot was. If you're in the board meeting and you needed something, you hit the button, and a guy came in and filled up your water glass. You got to have one of those. But they also had a window that, because everybody was so hungover, I figured out a way to open. They probably hadn't been open for a century. And boy, I know it's a family show, but guess what was across the street? We all had to stop the meeting and check out.
One.
A girl sunbathing without anything on. Very attractive.
Oh, well, now that would be a reason to go stand in the window.
We had to wait. Okay, let's grab a glass of water while we're doing that.
Let's take a break, folks.
Let's take a break. Anyway, I left there, and I had this weird feeling. The banks, then we went to Frankfurt. We were at Dresden Bank, the dear departed Dresden Bank. They got bought by somebody. And I just got this weird feeling. I don't know, I get these kind of feelings. I was like, What if this happens here? The banks owned 80 or 85% of most of the companies, unlike here, fortunately, because over there, stock in a company is considered good capital for a bank, where here it is not, thankfully. Right. By the way, it is in Japan, too, I think. And all the old people that had assets had nothing but money that I met. The young people, whether you were an attorney or in the bank, you didn't get anywhere till you were like 50, and only then if you were in the right family or something. I mean, there weren't, you know, I don't think they had student loans like they do here. Those kids were never going to enter the upper echelon unless they were in the right family. And the thought of a new bank breaking into the system, where here, you know, the three of us could open up a bank if we wanted to, especially because we got a guy like Kevin who knows how to do banking. But over there, you couldn't do that. I'm thinking, are we going to get like this? I sure hope. I couldn't wait to get out of there. Economically, personally, I love the people, but I couldn't wait to get out of there economically. And Lou hit us up with the idea of the term fascist. Three or four businesses and every one of the things that basically could ride roughshod over everybody. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be like that. And boy, we're there, or we're getting there. And people are just, I don't know what, wherever they turn, whether it's medical, whether it's whatever, you're getting a slap in the face, it seems here. I mean, maybe it's just because I'm getting older, or maybe I'm talking to you guys too much, but every place you go, the customer service is down. The way you can have a family member. That's why I want to talk to Dr. Blair. What would it take, you know, for me to go goofy like one of these guys? Would it be, you know, somebody take out my family and the police refuse to look for the guy? Would it be some doctor who didn't care about somebody and made a mistake and never heard from me? I mean, I don't know. I think everybody has a price. I think some of these people are priced a little too low. But, you know, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that's the point, Chief, is that there is a point. There is a point within society, and you'd better not find it, where, you know, it's not one nut job who's a few cans short of a six-pack, right? Because there's always going to be people that are, you know, a few cans short of a six-pack in society. It's just the way it is. But you get people angry enough, and it's just because of the relentless screwing. And the whole reason it goes on is the people that do this stuff, you get away with it for a while, and you get so effing arrogant, you think there's absolutely no limit to it.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
But this also goes back to what we started with, control of information. So now, once you control the information flow, this is a way you keep people in the dark. And so you don't get the massive, the organized effort to go after this. And so what's left is your lone wolves. You know, what's left is the crazies to do everybody's work. Only we just dismiss them as crazies and don't look at any point that might have been relevant or germane to a situation.
But what Kevin, since you're on the dais here, if somebody had a huge issue with, you know, the police refused to look for your mother's killer or something, which I think is happening all over the place, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't want to see anybody taking out any police people. I don't. But the idea that you would, if it were me, and I hope to God I never get there, I would probably at least try and get some thought of the people who I think are benefiting or in charge. What do you get by driving down a street of random people at 3 in the morning? You don't even know any of those people. What are you proving there? What's the point of that?
You're not getting anything other than, you know, either what you perceive as justice or maybe vengeance is a better word, or revenge is a better word.
How do you revenge against somebody you don't even know?
It's revenge against the system, Tom.
But I mean, if you get...
This is I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it any longer. But turned into action.
But if you get totally screwed in a court case, in a court case, it ruins your life, or the other firm has more money and the judge is on their side, which always seems to be to me. Every place I've been a witness, you know, expert witness and stuff, it's like the big guys always win. I mean, if I ever got to that stage, I think I would at least try and whatever I was going to do. People think I'm thinking about this. I'm not.
go after the judge.
You'd go after somebody that you think harmed you.
Or the attorney. And people do that all the time, too.
Well, why would I turn around and shoot people at a high school football game? I don't even know. What does that prove?
Making a statement, Tom. They all come with manifestos.
Does this guy have one with
you? You are assuming that once somebody goes crazy, that they're going to then apply some kind of rational process.
That is a problem. Well, you know, Lou accuses me of that all the time. He goes, don't ever assume that Putin thinks the same way you do. Wouldn't it be better if we just did this? No, he doesn't think it's better.
Well, that's exactly the point, right? Never assume that a madman is going to do something that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, but it's funny because at the University of Chicago, we had a class, and their view was not in this kind of crazy stuff. Their view of virtually all, and this goes right up both of you guys are talking about, with the most criminals are somewhat rational.
Correct.
And if somebody's going to, you know, steal a case of beer out of the 7-Eleven, and there's a 20% chance of him being caught, then the penalty should be 5 cases of beer. So the guy
it's got to be more than that.
Well, even if the guy goes, well, I'm not going to get anything, why would I do it?
Well,
it has to at least
even,
be even.
Right? Right, it has to at least be even.
Yeah.
But see, the whole reason that Amazon tried to screw me out of $7 was because the penalty, the chance of getting caught is zero.
Right, oh yeah.
And the penalty for doing it is zero, okay? And therefore, they will steal the seven, they'll try to steal the $7. Now, maybe they do get away with it, they didn't get away with it with me because as soon as they tried it, I canceled the order instantly. But how many people would not realize it until after the order had been charged and shipped?
Well, I mean, I don't know. We have this group we meet with once in a while. Actually, met with them last night and watched the game and had a good time. There's two or three attorneys in the group. And some people on the attorney side there, I don't know what's... They're smart people. They're my friends. It almost is like somebody gave them a lobotomy or something. When it came to, we were talking last time about this Commonwealth Edison thing, and they're trying to get Madigan for... accepting bribes and actually using the power not just to get a few people jobs. I don't think anybody cares about that. Actually, to get rate increases through that shouldn't have been put through.
There you go.
I don't know if you prove that or not, but to me, on the economic side of the world, or I guess if I had to do over again, I probably wouldn't be. But I'm sitting there, okay. Well, if that's the case, then the people who did it are at least as guilty as he is. You know, by the way, they're the ones that got the benefit of it. He got somebody else a job. I mean, he might have got a little bit of psychic income out of it, but he didn't get paid, maybe a little bit. Well, that rate increase, whenever it was, be it 5 years ago, every piece of that has to be rebated back to people like you and me and Kevin. And my attorneys look at me like I got four heads. What are you talking about? You're going to accuse the rate commission now? You're going to go after them and say that rate increase shouldn't have gone through? Isn't that why we're doing the whole thing? That he paid somebody off to get the rate increase? If that's not why we're doing it, what are we even doing it for? And if, by the way, they did get it, it should come right out of Commonwealth Edison's hide and go back to the people they overcharged. Where am I wrong?
You look at what happened. All right, look at what happened with the whole cable TV and internet and related stuff, right? Because, you know, I was in the middle of this back in the 1990s. And what I saw coming was that, and I knew what the cable companies were going to do because I knew what they were going to have to do. I did some of the study work before there was cable internet to homes. Okay, I was paid to do it. And the problem that they all had was that they had to put a huge amount of money into their plan in order to have the signal go both ways, because cable television is very simple. It's one direction, right?
Yeah.
Okay? It goes from them to you. Well, to have the internet, the signal has to go both directions. All right, so that means every single amplifier, all the equipment that they have has to be changed. And oh, by the way, there's a lot of it. It's expensive. And the original amortization on this stuff was probably, you know, 20 years or whatever, right, under the original installation. That's going to get binned, although they're still stuck with the amortization schedule. So what their scheme was we'll pay for it by putting pay-per-view movies and sports events on the cable. And now you can sit there with your cable box and push a button, and for $14.95 you can watch wrestling. All right. Excuse me, cross-subsidizing services like this when you are in a monopoly position makes it impossible for anybody to come in there and compete with you, never mind the right-of-way problem. So, and if you want to know why you can't have television, and by the way, the corruption goes into the government too. Why is it that you're not, the cable company is not mandated, hey, listen, you got a drop that goes by this guy's house, he can get all the local broadcast stations, he doesn't have to pay you for them. You want to be able to sell these enhanced services, that's fine, but guess what? The price is, you're using a public right-of-way. Why do you get to screw everybody who's, to watch CBS?
Well, because the person's too damn lazy to have an antenna and switch from one to the other.
Well, but, okay. Guess what? You want to exploit a public resource, and then, of course, once they drove everybody else out of the market, the price goes up exponentially.
They charge you for the free TV stations extra.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, and the price goes up exponentially, right? So then, you know, so you say, well, I'll just get the internet. Okay, that's nice. So then that, when people start doing that and bypassing it, then that cost goes up. Well, so sure now does. You've got, yeah, so now what used to be, you know, when this all started, you could have a decent cable TV setup with, you know, no movie channels, but all the expanded basic stuff is about $30 a month. Now you're looking at $100.
Yeah, you're looking more than that.
But Kevin,
well, I'm saying,
Kevin,
well, I'm saying without any of the movies and stuff, just the, well, yeah.
I want Kevin to opine. Why, Kevin, when I say something to a group, like the person who's actually hurt on this is you. You're paying 5 hours more a month than you should be. Why? What have we done to? It's almost like you walk down the street every morning on the way to work, and somebody comes out and kicks you right in the ass. It's been going on for 10 years, so you don't even really feel it anymore. Your ass has gotten toughened up, and you almost think it's okay. But I'll say, you know, this really means that you're paying $4 a month more in electric bill than you should. Everybody thinks I'm a moron. They go, so what? It went through the rate commission. It all got approved. I said, but the whole reason for this trial is that it wasn't a square deal, and yeah, you're the one paying. How have we dumbed down people to the point where they don't even care?
$4. Go pull one of your electric bills from, you know, 5-10 years ago. And
I'm talking about the one particular one there.
Out of the
million different rate increases.
Yeah, you know, last time.
And
I
that's
checked,
the one where they got caught.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I mean, I think if you don't follow this stuff, I mean, you look at some of the simplest things on earth. I mean, I've been wearing contact lenses since I was 16, thankfully, because I hated wearing glasses, even though I wear them now in the office. But there was an outfit that came out with a better solution, Mr. Boston, okay? This is 40 years ago. And you only could buy them through pharmacies. They were cheap, but they were better. And all of a sudden, somebody buys them. And now, you know, your contact lens solution, which you only got to buy, you know, maybe twice a year, it's $12 a bottle, and it probably ought to be 7 or 8. It's not anything you're going to go shoot anybody about or walk up and down with a sandwich sign, but, you know, 5 hours more a shot for everybody who wears contact lenses for 50 years is like a lot of dough, isn't it? For God's sake. I mean, I don't think people have maybe the economic background. It's like they don't realize how much these little maneuvers, and I trust how much it costs, how much a company can make for charging people $1,000 a month for a fatso drug that costs them $5. God bless. I'd love to, well, actually I wouldn't, because it would go against our track record for people. I wouldn't mind charging $200 a trade, and I know nobody would be able to pay it and trade it often, but still, don't people understand how much money this is for these places?
Chief, I don't know. When I take a look at what's going on, and every one of these things looks like a little insult, right? But you take a look at, for example, this nonsense about, you know, we're destroying the planet with global climate change, right? The facts are that the Earth goes through cycles of warmer and cooler temperatures. Greenland was named that for a reason, and it wasn't because somebody thought it was funny that a land of ice and snow would be called Greenland. There were no SUVs. This has been proven because there was civilization there. People had animals there that you could possibly do with, in today's world, right? And yet, here we are with the Biden administration set to attempt to permanently shut down oil and gas extraction in the Gulf. And of course, he seems to think that he can do something permanently. Well, with executive orders, well, he can't. That's the reality.
Carol, I have a question for all the people on the right that constantly take shots at the administration and their attitude towards oil. Which, by the way, it seems very obvious what their attitude towards oil is. Which I don't really agree with. I agree with you guys on this as much as you may think I'm wrong by agreeing with you guys ever. But anyway, the fact is, we're pumping more oil than we ever did. Is this just the big shell game that they're giving the liberals what they want, and they're telling the idiot tree huggers out of 50 million acres, we're going to cut, oil drilling out of 10 million of those acres, and look at the acres, nobody's ever going to be there anywhere. Anyway, I mean, these are people that held the leases for 50 years, 100 years, and are never going there. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, is it all just a mirage?
Yeah, well, it's all a game on price, okay? But the problem that you have here is that all I got to do, if you want to know where there's a scam, you may not know exactly what the scam is, but you can absolutely identify every one of these scams. And that is the world of human experience is that productivity goes up over time. We get smarter. We learn things. As we learn things, we apply them. That's applied technology. This is the 500, 600, 700 series in the library.
We better hope we never have to go back, though. Could you imagine somebody trying to invent the cash register today?
Well, yeah, you'd have a problem, right?
Yeah.
So here's the thing, though. So if you want to know where there isn't a scam, there isn't a scam in laptop computers or desktop computers. And how do I know this? Because the laptop computer today that costs $1,000 is five times as fast as the one that I bought 5 years ago for the same $1,000. Okay? Productivity means that I get more with less. That's the definition of it. Same thing with storage. When I was running my internet company, storage was stupidly expensive. Today, you couldn't give those disks away because they cost more for the connector to plug them into on the computer than they were.
No kidding.
Right. And today I have 20 terabytes of storage in my basement, for crying out loud, and I can keep everything I've ever done as a programmer forever without any worries about running out of room and having to clear anything off. If you spam me or you send me an invoice or whatever, I can have an electronic copy of that. Now, of course, I have to deal with, what if there's a fire, right? So I have to have a backup and all this. But the thing is that this is, again, how do I know there's competition and there isn't a scam in storage? It's because that's the case. Now, healthcare is five times as expensive and gets crappier outcomes than it did 20 years ago.
But the outcomes are ridiculously worse.
Well, I'm saying the outcomes are worse and the price is much higher. All right, there's a scam. Cars, they're far more complex, they're far more expensive, and they're crappier than they were 20 years ago. That's a scam.
And you don't want to own one of those when they get older, boy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Cable television, same deal, okay? All you have to do, like gasoline, energy in general, all right? We have 500 years worth of coal that we can recover and use the thorium in it, which you would not want to, you don't want it in there when you burn it because that's what causes the lung cancer. It happens to be a nuclear fuel. It's fertile. We can extract the thorium. It's a heavy metal. It's very easy to get out of the coal because carbon is a very light element. Very simple to chemically extract. We can use that. We can then, instead of burning the coal, we can turn the coal into syn fuel. The Nazis figured out how to do this. We can do it at today's kinds of oil prices on an economic basis.
You know what was really big on coal technology was the South Africans because they were.
They did this. They, and by the way, we know this works because Sasol down in South Africa, that's how they've been making their gas and diesel fuel, because they have almost no liquid hydrocarbons, but they have a crap ton of coal.
Then we had an embargo on them, right?
Yeah, and you know what? We know that, I mean, the Nazis figured out how to do this. This, by the way, for those trivia, that and its further processing into butyl rubber was actually what most of what was being done at places like Auschwitz was about. And those were chemical factories because the Germans didn't have liquid oil either. And by the way, they needed gasoline and fuel for their tanks, right? It's kind of hard to fight a war without fuel. So that was a big part of it. And the other problem is you needed rubber for things like tires and seals.
You know who invented synthetic rubber? Kevin knows this. Kevin's still with us?
Yeah, Father Newland.
Yeah, Notre Dame guy.
Yeah. And so...
And his big research assistant was?
Not Kevin O'Neill.
No, Newt Rockne.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is... I mean, so and these were processes that, you know, that came out of, to a large degree, they came out of Nazi Germany. Okay, because, you know, war makes you find answers to problems, right? Otherwise you lose.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and so, you know, I mean, that's not to, you know, to say that they were right or whatever. No, but, the, you know, that's how technology works. So we have had the answers to many of these problems. They're deliberately blocked because it makes people money. And there's if you want to find a scam, all you got to do is look for where the price has gone up. Okay, where it should be going down. And every time you find that, somebody's stealing.
Well, there's no question about that. I mean, we talk about that all the time, and if, you know, if it was looking around, every time I did...
But, Chief, how long does this go before the market blows up on this?
If the Fed keeps doing what they're doing, it may never.
Don't bet on that.
It never did in the Weimar Republic.
Okay, and everybody was hauling around wheelbarrows to get a loaf of bread,
right,
and all went broke and died anyway.
The reason why
this crazy Austrian painter showed up and said he could fix everything.
The reason why I debate you on this, because you know I feel the exact same way you do. I was doing the same thing with Dan yesterday. Poor Dan. I was quizzing him exactly what the opposite side of what he's talking about and how... And if it was going to happen, if it's so obvious, how come it hasn't happened by now? Even if we, one of these days, are proven to be correct or be being cautious, we're sure as hell early, aren't we, Kevin? Why?
Well, Chief, it's inertia, though. But that's always, I mean, you know, you look at 1929, it was the same thing, right?
I mean, they are careful this time. They're much better at it. Is where I'm going with this, Carl.
Stealing. They've gotten much much craftier at stealing. Yes,
but they have. Actually, I want to ask the both of you guys. Somehow or another, in the last 8 to 12 weeks, maybe 14, 15 weeks, the coordination between the central banks seems to have broken down a little bit, in the sense that the dollar is moving against these other currencies, and for the whole last thing with the COVID and all the other stuff, they all were pretty close together. And even though, if you were to say on TV to, you know, Rick Santelli or somebody who actually like, and say, "What, the value of the dollar is going down?" He'd say, "What are you talking about? The euro's right here. The Japanese yen's right now." I'm going, "No, the value of the dollar versus my Ford pickup versus the value of the dollar is going down against everything else." But mentally, we figure it's always going to be, if it's okay hanging up against other currencies, it's okay on an absolute level. But because nobody thinks the dollar is really against other stuff, not just another currency. And I talked to some people, you know, who were doing the oil argument a couple of weeks ago. They're all from the right. I said, "When was the last time you guys looked at a production chart?" And the guy goes, "Why would I have to do that?" I said, "Well, because you're quoting stuff. You don't know what the hell you're talking about." "Well, no, I listen to whatever." So, you know, but I have a question for you. I actually went back and studied this thing. I'm looking at it right now. We are by far, well, pretty close to by far record oil production right now. We're up 300,000 barrels from last month, in fact. We're at 13,457,000. When this guy entered office, we were 11,152.
Right.
Okay, well, now when Trump entered office, we were 88-73, and we were on probably a faster growth pattern than we are now. But then the last year, it torpedoed down a little bit because of... actually, it didn't torpedo down. It went back down from... it was 1 month. Wow, May of 2020, right when COVID started.
We went right, from, right when we made everybody stay home.
Well, we
right.
went from... you know, March was 12.7 million barrels a day. April, 11.9, and then it was... May 9-7, and it started to go right back up again.
Well, so, yeah, Chief, but you know what? I moved in the at the start of that craziness, and I absolutely loved dollar a gallon gas hauling a trailer back and forth between Tennessee and Florida.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is, but if you look back, the odd part of this whole mess, the only person, now, during the Obama eras, which would have been, what are we talking about? He would have been 2008 to 2016, right? We went from 5.1 a day to 9.2. And everybody would have said, gee, Obama's so against oil. He had the biggest increase of anybody. And the weird part was, and this I can't figure out, I'm not going to accuse the guy of anything, why did George Bush is the only dude, in 2000 when he took office, we were 5.7. When he left, we were 5.1. We were lower in 2008 than we were in... We were up to, 8,400 in 1987, 9,000,001 in 1886. What was the deal with George Bush?
What happened to consumption in 2007 and 2008?
Yep.
But I mean, the whole week. I mean, we're talking about we're down 40% from the 80s.
Well, Chief, so the oil business has always been a crazy speculative boom and bust game. And I mean, you can look at the historical pattern on this. It is an unbroken record, okay. And every time it blows up, all the little wildcatting companies, they all go broke. Every one of them goes broke because they're sitting on a bunch of rigs that they're not using. And oops, right. And then every time that price starts to spike, of course, this sucks people in. We're going to make $1 billion doing this. And so, they buy up equipment, they start putting drilling holes in the ground. But it takes time for this to happen. There's a lag to it, just like there is with inflation. Inflation always feels good at the start because you haven't seen it in the CPI yet, right? When you're sticking that money in the system, oh, but happy days are here again. And then all of a sudden your eggs are $8 a dozen. And yep. The same thing happens with the oil business, and it's always been that way. I've gone back and looked at this, and you go back into the 1950s, and you see this pattern.
I get it. I'm just saying that,
That's part of it. The other part of it is that there are technology changes that come into play. So, for example, advancements in fracking technology really opened up all kinds of new. Opportunities for taking oil out of the ground, especially in places like the Dakotas, in parts of Pennsylvania that weren't being drilled before, parts of Ohio that weren't producing a lot of oil, and that was during the Obama administration.
Well, yeah, and then on top of that, horizontal drilling has really changed the game too, because now you don't need to have nearly as much land. Because you could stick the straw sideways.
Right, that's what's really helping.
Bendy straw. We got oil-producing bendy straws.
Yeah, we got bendy straws. Yeah.
Well, right. But I'm saying, if you look at this whole thing, and you guys, by the way, you guys just explained a lot of it. I mean, if you look at this, I'm going back to like 1960. The thing that just pops right out at you, what in God's name happened between 2000 and 2008?
We're talking half of
where we were in the 60s.
No, I know. Well, that's because of depletion. And one of the problems that you have with all of these newer technologies is that the amount of oil and gas that's in the ground hasn't changed, okay? But the speed with which we can take it out of a given hole has. So this of course, the backside of this means you need to drill many more holes, right? Because if I've got 1 million barrels under this place where I sink the straw, if I take those 1 million barrels out of the ground in 10 years, then, okay. Now I figure out how to do it in 1 year. All right. The hole goes dry 10 times as fast. And so now I need to make more holes. And so this is part of the thing is that it's part of what drives the boom and bust cycle.
I don't know if you guys remember, because I was still reading a bunch of stuff from the University of Chicago and things back then when I was, you know, privy to this stuff. There was an actual group afoot, and I think maybe the Bushies might have been part of it. I'm not positive. They actually said we were better off essentially importing all the oil because we knew we had it if we ever needed it.
Well, burn up theirs first.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a bad strategy.
That was the strategy. I mean, and I think to be fair, the Bushes had their heads basically up the ass of the Arabs in other places, right? I mean, they were big buddies with those guys,
yeah.
And so we were, and it wasn't. I think we maybe cut some kind of a deal after 1973 too.
Yeah, burn theirs first is actually a I mean. You know, that, there is an old thing about, well, my father rode a camel, my grandfather rode a camel, you know, I drove a clunker, I'm driving, and you know, my father, I'm driving a high-end Cadillac SUV, and my son's going to ride a camel.
Yeah. So, Kevin, what is your, if you had to make a market prediction right now, we tried to get some predictions out of Greg yesterday, and he gave us a few regarding oil. Oil's a big. I think you need to take a look at oil this year and take a look at Bitcoin, and wherever the two of them move, I think the market might move with them. Where do you make of the oil? We've been so stuck between $67 and $72 now for so long. It's almost kind of, if you're an oil trader, guys, I think you're having pretty sleepy days. We're not seeing any kind of grain markets of any kind. There's not a whole lot. We've some action in the gold, but the action is in the market and in Bitcoin, or those things. And is that going to stay that way this year? Or are we going to continue to? We've had 220% plus years in some of the, some of the high tech parts of the market. Can we do that again? Most people might say it. We could, but boy, it'd be kind of odd if we did. Doesn't mean we won't. This year I'm finding it very difficult to predict. Why am I having so much trouble? It's always hard to predict, but it seems harder. Is it just me or what?
Well, if I were to look at oil, and this will be my parting shot, and then I'll leave you two to it. If I'm looking at oil, one of the things we have to do is replenish the strategic reserve. So I expect that we're gonna go after pumping more oil out of the ground in the U.S. to get in the strategic reserve, but I don't think that's going to find its way to the price at the pump nearly as much. But as long as it doesn't go up, you're not going to damage the shipping sector or the economy, and that part of it will be okay. I do think we've seen it in many industries already where, while revenues may be up, volume is not. Due to inflation, we can't help but get an inflation surge pretty soon. Trump better hope it happens like right away rather than, you know, June, because if we see it in June, he'll get the blame for it. So he better hope that we start seeing it right away. But that's going to cause some price shocks, because we really can't handle any more inflation surges right now. So the market may do well by it, but the rest of the average person is going to have some real spending trouble if we see another inflation surge. So I think that's going to be a big problem. I am definitely not bullish on 2025 as an economic year.
No, neither am I, and that inflation surge is already in the system. And so,
yeah, it can't be taken out. It can't be avoided.
Right. You can't unring that bell. The question is, when does it show up in the data? Not, is it going to happen? The answer is yes.
Maybe never. We keep lying.
No, Chief. You know what? That's a nice idea, but here's the thing. You know, you look at what the Philly Fed came out with last week, and they basically scooched all of the second quarter job gains that were reported. They said it was actually negative. And the problem with that is that you can lie, you know, you can put out BS numbers. Well, I mean, I've since I've been reporting on the jobs report, I've always called them the Bureau of Lies and Scams for BLS. Okay. You know, it's not a new thing. That's, you know, that's something that I coined 20 years ago. But the the problem that you have with doing that sort of thing to try to, I mean, you know, let's face it, no administration wants to say, by the way, the economy sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, nobody wants to do that. The problem that you run into, though, with getting that blatant about it to the point that you're actually, you know, you're reporting strong job growth, the truth is nonsense, that's not true, and then you look under the hood and you find, for example, that the people who are not Americans, they had job gains. The people who are Americans had job losses that were almost exactly equal in number, and therefore you had a zero. All right. The Philly Fed comes out and says, yeah, it was a zero. These are uncorrelated data sets. And when you start, this is one of the things that set me off with all the COVID stuff was that, and the disability numbers and things like this, is that I found uncorrelated data out of the BLS that the CDC could not tamper with because they didn't have control over it. And when you find the data in uncorrelated data sets and it matches, your eyebrows had better go up because there's a message in there, and if you're not paying attention to it, you're going to get a bad surprise. So the other thing is, look at copper. Okay, if we've got a booming economy, tell me why in a three-year chart on copper actually is down a little bit.
Well, if you look at the household survey, there's less people working.
Well, I understand that, but I'm saying, you know, there used to be this thing that went around trading floors. They used to call it Dr. Copper.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All right. Well, I got that. And then the other thing is everybody is all cranked up about this, you know, this cold snap that's coming. And by the way, hope you don't need to go anywhere down through the center section of the country, like starting tomorrow. There's a decent chance of a nasty snow and ice storm just north of me. I doubt we'll get it. But if you're a little bit north of here, the GFS is, oh boy, everything.
North of you and south of us.
Well, basically, Kansas, I mean, if you look at where this is likely, you know, essentially Kansas all the way through the southern part of Missouri, maybe all of Missouri, the southern part of Illinois, the southern part of Indiana, southern part of Ohio, Kentucky, all of that on a rolling basis, you could see anywhere between eight inches to a foot of snow. And if it's a couple degrees warmer, it's going to be an ice storm. So which way that goes, I mean, when you look at the temperature gradients, which way that goes is really, you know, really questionable right now. But there's an awful lot of moisture coming in that band, and
it's right in the middle of it. You ever listen, if you go on YouTube now, there's a guy on there, it's like crazy Newsmax weather every time. The guy,
oh yeah,
I mean, you heard that, but he'll every storm, every winter storm, like it's down to 20 degrees in the wintertime, we're all going to die. Wait a minute, it's winter. What are you talking about?
Oh, Chief, you know, there were people talking about, oh, you know, there's going to be a, you know, an apocalypse because it's going to be, you know, below freezing on the Florida coast and you know, 20 below zero in Texas. And I'm like, well, I don't know what you guys are smoking, but, it, you know, I mean, might you get a 20 degree, neg 20 overnight in North Dakota? Yeah, that happens in the winter. I mean, are you likely to see a zero in Chicago next week? Yes, that happens in the winter.
I could do zero. Just don't give me no 15, 20 below. That's old. That's
life-threatening. You're not going to get 15 or 20 below. But what we are going to get is this storm. And the thing is, everybody was freaking out about this. You know, everyone's tries to sell clicks nowadays, right? All over social media, everything else. Well, guess what? I look at the natural gas chart. The natural gas futures say these guys are full of something smelly. Because
why do you think we're not on national TV? I don't go with the if it bleeds, it leads.
Well, okay, but you know what? If I really believe this, do you think I might buy some natural gas futures?
Well, somebody has. They're up from under 3 to almost 4.
Well, actually, they're not up that much. You look at this the last few days, and in fact, it's collapsing today.
Yeah, when it started 2 weeks ago, the big hype about this cold spell, it ran up. It had a 15% day to the upside.
Oh, I get that, yeah. but it's trading 348 right now.
Yeah, but it went from what it was 310 to 350 in one day. That if you're short that day, it took a lot out of you.
Well, it peaked at 420, which I mean,
yeah, that's a huge contract.
Ow!
Yeah. We used to have people that traded the natural gas futures through us. But, you know, but even a one lot's like what, 20 grand per like a dollar for a dime or something? It's huge.
Oh, there the leverage on it is crazy, but the moves are enough to, you know, peel your wig back.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Yeah. Let's have a quick break here, and we'll be right back. SP Futures up 22.
Right, I'm going to drop off.
All right, Kevin, take care of yourself.
Online sometime.
When are you getting back?
Well, I'll get back this evening.
Our guys this morning were talking about the Orange Bowl. The last, when we played Nebraska, I was there. That was one of the most miserable evenings I ever had. All I saw was Johnny Rogers going one way, Johnny Rogers going the other. And we left for home from the parking lot, Kevin. And the parking lot had all these people from Nebraska. They travel well. And Winnebago's like the first Winnebago's ever made, the ones that were like totally square. How you even got those things down the highway, I have no idea. So it took forever. Oh, God. It took forever to get out of the parking lot. So fortunately, I had a 16-inch softball in the trunk. So we're playing catch there for like an hour before we get out of the place. Now we're driving from Miami back to Chicago. So we really wanted to get moving, but all these people were giving us a bunch of crap about the game. And I don't think I've ever been to a worse game. It was awful. They were good.
Had their butts kicked badly and came back and won the championship the next year.
2 years.
No, 1 year.
Two.
One.
That game was my sophomore year. We won the championship my senior year.
You won the championship your junior year.
No, we didn't. It was
my sophomore year.
No, we didn't. It was.
Oh, that was your senior year. I'll check it. I'll fact check
it. The thing that screws it up.
I'm right, damn it. I'm always right.
The thing that screws you up, everybody on this number, is because the championship game was in 1973 because we played on New Year's Eve. Everybody, that's what causes the Alabama game was on New Year's Eve. All the other games were on New Year's Day, remember? And that's what gives everybody kind of messed up. We were good my junior year. Freshman year, we had Joe Theismann. Second year, we went to the Orange Bowl, which we shouldn't have gone. The third year, I don't think we went anywhere. And then we went to where the senior year was where? It was at the Sugar Bowl. I don't think we played in my junior year. We had a bowl anywhere. Was there a bowl your freshman year? I don't think so.
Hold on. I'm pulling it up right now. I am pulling it up right now.
Because I went to all of them. Yeah. When I was a freshman, I went to the Cotton Bowl, to the Orange Bowl, and went to the Sugar Bowl. I don't think I went anywhere junior year.
All right. In the 1973 season,
that was
Notre Dame won the national championship, yes, beating Alabama in the Sugar Bowl.
Correct.
In 1972 season, so we'll just change that one number and look at the schedule. They lost 40-6 to Nebraska in the Orange Bowl.
Okay, so that was my junior year.
Well, it was consecutive years.
Okay, and then my sophomore year, we must not have gone anywhere.
That would have been a Cotton Bowl year.
No, freshman way.
That would have been the year that they went.
That was my freshman year, Theismann.
Yeah, they got drilled by LSU in the season finale and didn't go anywhere.
Right. I knew there was one year we missed. All right, Kevin, take care of yourself. Fly safe. We'll do a real quick break and we've been back to Carl. We got stuff to cover. SP Futures up 21. Be right back.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our Better Business Bureau A-rated team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Call now for a free case review and a low price guaranteed quote to get you protected today. Call now. 800-388-4901. That's 800-388-4901. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-388-4901.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Blowing up a stocks and jocks. Time out. Ricky on the board. SP Futures now up 20. NASDAQ Futures up 96. Yesterday when we came in, we were racking and rolling to the upside. Then we flew all the way down and came back almost unchanged on the close. It's a crazy day, and now we're up pretty much what we ended up down yesterday. So we're kind of almost flat on the year here, which is bizarre. We'll see if that keeps doing it. European stocks, however, I think they're down a little bit. Let me put my machine to work here, and then we will talk. There we go. DAX down 81.4%. FTSE down 7. Call that flat. Heck, Iran's a big mover down, down 71 points. That's a full 1%. Their auto stocks are down heavy, 1% over there. Asia, Nikkei down 386. It's a full 1%. Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. These guys have not traded since 1230. Sorry on that one. Hang Seng up 136.7. I don't know why those guys are closed. Must be for the new year. Hang Seng, they are trading up 136.7%. Shanghai down 51, 1.6%. Again, we've seen this. Hang Seng and mainland China go in the opposite directions a lot of times in the last couple of months. Not sure why. Bonds, real quick, down 3 basis points, 4.54. We've got oil up 16 cents, 73.29, the very high end of the range here, or the preview, the recent range. We've got gold down 5.30 now, 26.63. Silver up 30 cents, 30.20, back over 30. It was under 29 a couple days ago. And we have crypto down 9.56 on the Bitcoin. Big story, however, at least for me, is the euro is under 103. It's 102.95. Well, that's Carl. Are we going to invert? What do you have for us, traffic, weather, sports, Ricky? Then we'll figure out if we're going to invert on this.
Absolutely. Morning, Chief. It's currently 7:40 a.m. here in Chicago. 23 degrees right now with a high of 27. Sunny to partly cloudy and breezy. Tonight will be clear, brisk, and cold with a low of 14 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, 43 degrees right now with a high of 77. Warm with temperature approaching record of 79, last reached in 1989. Tonight will be clearing with a low of 46 degrees. Let's talk about traffic in Chicago. Iman Kennedy from Monroe's, we're looking at 10 minutes. 23 minutes. Iman Edens from Lane Cook. Iman Eisenhower from Wall, 15 minutes. Iman Dan Ryan from 95th, 13 minutes. And Stevenson from 294 to the Dan Ryan, 16 minutes. Lastly, let's talk about sports. This Saturday, January 4th, we got Browns at Ravens, 3:30 p.m. and Bengals at Steelers at 7 p.m. This Sunday, January 5th, we got Bears at Packers at 12 p.m. and 49ers at Cardinals, 3:25 p.m. NBA, no Bulls or Suns game today, but tomorrow we have Suns at Pacers, 6 p.m. and Knicks at Bulls at 7 p.m. Lastly, on the NHL, Canadians play at Blackhawks today at 7 p.m. Back over to you, Chief.
Carl, what do you make of, a lot of things we can talk about. What do you think of the dollar movement here? What do you think is going on?
Well, there's a couple of things that are kind of interesting here. First is that if you take a look at the dollar chart from October, September, October-ish forward, right? And then you take a look at the curve, the 10-year minus the 13-week bill, which is the easy one for anybody to chart because the TNX and IRX are both common symbols, right? I mean, if you want to do twos, tens, it's a little tougher. But those two are on basically any retail trading console. If you look at those, they're essentially the same chart.
That's not surprising, actually.
Well, but there's information in there, okay? And the interesting part about this is that, there's this old international game called Beggar Thy Neighbor.
Yeah.
All right? And it appears that behind the scenes, and I don't know who's actually doing it, because I know it wasn't Biden. He's, there hasn't been enough upstairs for him to come up with this. Even back when he was bright, I don't think he was that bright. Yellen, on the other hand, is a malicious little you-know-what. And so,
I never was a fan of hers. When she got all the money for the speaking engagements between huge regulatory type positions. I'm not big on that.
Right. I got all kinds of words for her, but none of them are very polite. Possibly.
Plus, she got her buddy canned.
Well, she did a lot of sleazy things, as far as I'm concerned.
You're doing the show. What the hell is his name? Do you remember him? God bless. Guy was the Wall Street Journal finance reporter, and he asked her. He went to one of the news conferences, and he asked her remember when people were accusing the Fed of leaking stuff early?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe he asked her at the news conference, where's the status of that investigation? You see the look on her face, it was like the grandma, you just just pissed off, and he's coming after you with a broomstick. And she was so pissed, and she got him canned on Wall Street.
Yeah, and that's. But I mean, this is the game playing. It's somewhere because this correlation is way too exact to not have meaning somewhere, right? And so, I mean, when you see stuff like that in a chart, you go, okay, who's up to what, and what's the, what is the purpose behind it? Because it's not just the data that's telling you something. It's all right, why are they doing it? And the one of the things that you have to realize when you look at that 13-week tenure relationship, and you pull the lens back and you look at it over longer periods of time, is that you have a trend. You have trends within trends, but the movement is never smooth. Okay, it goes a direction, then it backs off, then it goes back. The same way it was, but the trend change is clear, and we have uninverted. And my suspicion is that we're going to see a lot more steepening as we come into further into the year. This is very bad for risky assets. Very bad for anything that's levered. So, real estate, stocks. My suspicion is that between the consumer scams and the consumer simply running out of money, the debt levels that are being carried, credit cards and things like this, and then on top of that, you've got the pressure that's going to come from here, where borrowing money is going to have a real cost again, probably enough to detonate the, hey, guess what, we can show good numbers on our balance sheet even though we're actually losing money because the carry is negative. Okay, that unravels, and you're going to see a lot of these 70, 80 PE companies end up trading at 20 again. And that's not going to be a small change, right, by stretch of the imagination. And I think we're looking at that this year. This if this keeps going, if we've actually seen a trend change in the curve shape, it's not a short-term thing. It's actually a trend. And it's been going on now since September. So I'm at this point, I'm willing to say it probably is real, because I was, I had my doubts. I mean, this thing had sat in this inverted state for a record period of time, unless you go back to, the 1920s. And of course, that was a totally different world. We measured things differently then, too.
Well, I think some of the message, Carl, I mean, you and I, and there's a lot of people, not just us, I mean, there's people on our show, obviously, and that are, if you are happen to be, let's put it this way. I mean, I know you did well when you sold your place and so forth, but I wouldn't exactly call you a Mark Cuban that sold his at the time, or the lady who
Well, I'm not sleazy enough to make that kind of money.
Well, I'm just...
Or Vivek Ramaswamy. I'm just not... I'm not sleazy enough to go take a blown drug and then IPO it and try to siphon off a few million or billion dollars.
Well, but I guess what I'm more toward the lady who... and I don't have any issue with her whatsoever. I mean, it just is what it is. But the lady who I keep forgetting the guy's name, who owns the Las Vegas Sands, it's the daughter. Didn't the guy croak, and she's got all the stock, so she basically sold a lot of the stock. Now she doesn't have to pay taxes on it, right? Because it's a
She got the stepped up basis,
and she takes $1-2 billion and buys into Mark Cuban's. Now at that level, If you happen to be the 10,000 share owner of Apple at $8 or someplace, I mean, the world is your oyster right now. I mean, it absolutely is, and I don't have any problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I think you don't deserve or anything like that. I'm just saying it is that way. This is sort of inherited. It's a wealth from a wealth bubble. It still spends, by the way. Spends fine, but it's a wealth of a wealth bubble. You don't necessarily take other people along with you with this. So you're getting this kind of, split. But so to tell the people on CNBC that maybe the world isn't good for 80-90% of the population, I mean, it's still better than, it's America. It's still pretty good, but it's not improving. They honestly don't know, Carl, what we talk about. I mean, it's not like. I guess there's no reason for them to look at it. There's no reason for them to listen. They don't even know what we're talking about. Why isn't everything fine? It sure as hell is fine with me. Don't they all have stock? Isn't our stock all up? I mean, that's the mentality, you sort of get out of the mess.
And that all works right up until the people in the bottom half can't buy the things they have to have in order to survive. And then what you, you know, then the follow through that you get on that is that, hey, wait a minute, how come the stock prices are at 50% of where they were?
Well, that's where your big issue is. I mean, if they were priced what I would consider to be, normally such a horrible word, but I mean, I don't really, Apple, I think, is, they got nothing but money, for God's sake. So it's not like, I don't have anything against the company whatsoever. All I'm saying is that at some point, traditionally, they've been a 30 PE, and I don't think this year is all of a sudden going to be that much of a growth. There's times when you have a growth spurt and so forth,
right.
But now they're 41, and you're like, Microsoft, sort of the same thing. I mean, they're all like 25%, maybe almost a third higher than their traditional PE, and way ahead of their traditional, you know, revenue per share. Does that mean they're going to sell off today? No, they could never sell off. The economy could grow even more, and they just stay there for a little while and then start going back up again. You can't predict anything like this. My point is, it's when you start seeing.
Well, I can't predict the time. I can't predict the timing, but I can predict the outcome.
Well, I think what we're both saying is, one side's moving one way, the other side's moving another way, and they better figure out how to start getting on the same path pretty soon, or else we got a problem. I think that's the summation of what we're saying. We're not saying anything today, tomorrow. All I'm saying is if the federal receipts keep going down, like they are, for God's sake, if less people are working next year on the household survey, if the amount of people in the labor force, which is now 58.3, which is danger, goes to 55, I find it really hard-pressed that Apple and Microsoft and NVIDIA are going to be trading where they are. That's kind of all I'm saying. I'm never going to tell anybody.
My problem with it, Chief, is this, okay? If you look at what has changed, right? I mean, you take for example, Microsoft, you know, Windows is what everybody knows, right? But where the revenue comes from historically has always been Office. It's been the Office suite, right?
Yep.
And I mean, that, you know, you bought it, you had a disk, you stuck it in the machine, you know, CD, you stuck it in the machine, you loaded it, and that was on that computer, and it was licensed to the computer. And then that license was portable, so if you upgraded the computer, it was fine. All right, well, I have an old one that I cannot activate on my new machines anymore because they've turned it off. And it says, you've installed this the maximum number of times, that's just too bad, tough cookies, have a nice day. What they obviously are trying to do is force me to buy the subscription, and I pay them every year for the exact same thing. All right, now Adobe's doing that all across the board. Well, Adobe's done that same thing with, you know, Photoshop and their photo processing software. All right, this is where the multiple expansion has come from. But the problem is this: that money's coming out of everybody else's pocket to generate that. All right. Now, at some point, I mean, you know, if you think about it as a business, that now goes from I got to buy an office license for this new employee in this new seat. Now it's, I have to pay every year for that guy to be in the seat. His butt in the seat doesn't cost me once anymore. His butt in the seat now costs me every 12 months or every month or whatever the subscription is. And this is going on, this squeeze is not just happening within individual households. It's happening at the corporate level as well. And that's where it's what's being reflected in these expansions. At some point, you hit the point that these have negative returns. And I don't know exactly where it is, but when you get there, you're going to find that corner real fast. And I suspect that all this air is going to come out. And one of the things that is kind of a warning sign for me is I'm now seeing, you know, I've been talking about this cloud thing being, for most companies, this cloud nonsense is a loser on net. It costs you more money and you get less. Of course, you know, everybody has pushed it for, you know, 10 years now, and, oh, you know, Denninger, you're crazy. Well, now what's happening is that data storage is so cheap, but the cost to keep that data in those cloud systems continues to ratchet higher. And the providers are, again, trying to run an extraction racket on the subscriptions. It works until it doesn't. But now I'm seeing some pushback from some of the large organizations that have historically been very pro getting the stuff out of their own data center and either talking about bringing it back in-house or actually starting to do it. These kinds of things have knee points.
Well, just like Tulip's it was the same way it was at but that actually is a sign somewhat of a healthy economy unless
unless
the people get too big.
Right, and but the problem is they did. Okay.
Yeah, they did.
And you take a look at what's, you know, where multiples have gone from, you know, coming out of the 09, 10, 11, 12, maybe, you know, 13, 14 time period, and then what's happened over the last 4 or 5 years. And this is very 1999-ish. And I look at this and I say, you know, okay, there is the pushback will come, and the first guys that get in front of it corporately are going to put 10 points, 15 points on their operating margin versus the guys who don't. And as soon as they do that, everybody else gets forced to go along with it, and the entire house of cards comes down.
Well, the issue you have, I think, a lot of times, Carl, is when you remove, like, I never worried, you know, PTI has been in business a long time. During the 90s, and even maybe in the early 2000s, I never worried about my industry not being competitive. Because
right.
the barriers to entry were pretty low. I mean,
Not no more.
No. And you look at, the one I look at a lot is the Home Depot. There's one in my neighborhood, there's one, everybody's got one around. Now, those guys, when they came into business, they were pretty good at their supply chain stuff. They were, they had the bigger box. They had everything was there. People got used to going in. Oh, by the way, most of the time, I'm saying a lot of the time, and they were as cheap or cheaper than the next guy.
Right.
And then the issue that I've used those guys as a, whenever I've done any speaking regarding any kind of monopoly stuff, I use those guys as an example. They maybe don't even realize at the time they're doing it, when this guy goes out, that guy goes out, and all of a sudden there used to be five lumber yards in town, and maybe they weren't the most efficient, but they at least were competitive. All of a sudden these guys take over and they got all this stuff, and boy, it's a lot nicer going in there, and blah blah blah, and all of a sudden they're the only ones left. Maybe they don't even realize their monopoly power until one day they wake up and go, wait a minute, there's nobody else here. I mean, and I think COVID showed a lot of these people how much monopoly power they really have. I don't even think they thought they had it until all of a sudden, wait a minute, we're the only hot dog place in town. I mean, what do we now? I think they could charge whatever they damn well please. To a point. I mean, you can get some stuff online and so forth, but by and large, if somebody sees a tile special, they're still probably pretty competitive on tile. But you don't see anybody walking out the door and going down the block and getting the grout cheap or somewhere else. Right. All of a sudden, they now are at the point where I don't know where. I mean, I go to the Burbs and I know where the Menards are, and I still know where a couple of the other places are. And I actually would go to Ace Hardware where they'll give you a deal. I don't think anybody in my neighborhood, I'll use the term the ups, they wouldn't, whatever they're going to buy, they're going to go to Home Depot. They've never known anything else.
Right.
They just assume because it's big, it's cheaper. Oh, yeah, it's cheaper. Is it really? Well, have you ever checked anybody else? Oh, no, but it's always cheaper.
Yeah, have you ever looked at the actual price? Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a big box. It's got to be cheaper. Oh, really? I mean, you know, but now how do you take back that? I mean, Milton Friedman was so right. You can't let it happen because you can't go the other way. So what if everybody decided Home Depot was a monopoly, and how many towns do you think they sort of really are? Now in the Midwest, they don't have near as much of a monopoly here because we have Menards, and you know they're very competitive.
Well, you know it's funny because we've got an 84 Lumber right up the road from the Home Depot and the Lowe's. Okay, and
they're still around the 84. Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's one right in town here, and it's 2 miles up the road from the other two. the Home Depot and the Lowe's are about half a mile apart, and those are the three in town. And I redid my deck last spring, and you bet your butt I shopped all three of them for the materials, because if you think I was handing any of these guys a whole hunk of money, and then loading up the trailer full of materials without looking to see, okay, you know, who's good. And oh, by the way, at 84, if you go in there and you're buying, you know, more than a couple of boards, you know, you need a, you need enough stuff to redo, you know, a deck, for example, right? You'd be shocked. Sometimes they'll be like, oh, yeah, we'll give you 10% off that.
Yeah, well, they, yeah, we had places here, some of those, a lot of them here have gone high-end, where they'll design everything for you and everything, because that's where the,
yeah,
you know, that's where,
well,
the,
that's where the money is, right. Yeah. Right.
Anyway, Carl, happy new year for everybody, and what do you make of, you know, I've got some new clients coming by. I'm getting a lot of concentration issues.
I think this is very dangerous because, you know, when you look at just the usual thing is everyone just says, well, you know, I'm diversified if I buy the S&P 500, right?
Yeah.
But you're really not, because a huge percentage of it is in, you know, 6-7 stocks, right? So you bought 500 stocks, kind of, sort of. But in terms of where the actual money is, it's all on one end just because of the way the index works. The same thing with the NASDAQ, and you know, same thing with the Dow to some extent. Dow a little bit less because of the divisor, but, you know, same basic thing. And so I think the real problem is that this year is the year that the air comes out of the AI bubble. I think it's going to happen. There's some stuff that I've been digging around in with NVIDIA and some of this, you know, some of the hype that's been going around this stuff. My suspicion is that this blows up in everyone's face this year.
Well, let me
that's going to have a major follow-on impact throughout the indexes, just because of the way. And it's not that, you know, it's just the way the index is constructed.
Well, let me take 1 minute here, Carl. We'll talk more about that on Tuesday, because, you know, but this is, everybody knows I don't give market advice. I mean, I try and point things out, but this everybody should pay attention to, because this is dogma.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
There's three kinds of risk when you're in the market. There's company specific risk, that I'm in the oil industry, oil goes up, but my company, you know, the president has been cheating or God knows what, and my company goes down. That's considered company specific risk. Okay.
Right.
There's industry specific risk. I'm in the oil business this year. Price doesn't go anywhere. Every other segment of the market is up, and guess what? I'm unchanged or down. That's industry risk. But then there's also market risk. And when people talk about diversify, which I preach as well, if all of a sudden at the end of the year, and I'm not saying this, if 10% is your 10-year rate is at 10 or 12% at the end of the year, just to make it extreme, I don't care where you're diversified, you're going to be down. So it's, you can diversify all you want, but that means the whole market's going to be up or down. So you got to be careful. You can diversify away the first two. It's really hard to diversify away the third one, right?
That third one's almost impossible,
right,
with the exception of special circumstances that, and there always are.
There's always somebody, yeah.
There's always somebody, but finding the somebody and being right about it is tough.
Well, plus if you got 40 stacks and two of them you're right on it, you're still kind of
stuck. The other 38 are still down,
you're
right?
Still
exactly.
S&P futures up 15, the S&P's up 61. Everybody have a great new year, good weekend. We'll see some good pro games. Hello. There's really only like one or two races that have to be decided, right?
Yeah, this is, you know, we got a few things going on, but, you know, it's, I don't know, I thought the most interesting game was this thing with Ohio and Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, that's because, you know, they spanked Tennessee, right? And everybody was like, oh, Oregon's going to pants these guys. Not so much.
I'm still, even though the team has had a couple of hiccups, I still think Ohio State's got the best 50-man roster. They're still my favorite.
I got to tell you, I was the shock level among the people that were like, Oregon is going to, you know, just wipe the floor with those guys.
No.
It was amusing to watch.
I'm going to say Ohio State probably has – the Irish are pretty close. I mean, some of these teams are pretty close. I think they got more people that are going to play on Sunday next year than anybody else, which usually means they have
too.
The best team. Anyway, back on Monday, Stocks and Jacks.
That's all, folks.